talking about the interesting orchard that was in the that was in the yard of the Rancho Bonita. So let me just share the diagram again so we can review what exactly that looks like. So we were talking. So here we go. So here we are. So we have some sort of something in their backyard, something in a yard, right? So the question is it attached to a house, not attached to a house, and what exactly is it? So just summarize what we got to. So I guess I'll read through it again quickly, and then I'll summarize more of it outside, and hopefully we'll be able to have a little more understanding. The first case we had was, as relevant to this discussion, is when we had the person had their house, their large house, a large mansion attached to their garden, to their carpet, and then one of their walls of the house fell down. They wondered if they could use one of the walls for the car path to the house. At least, and they said no because the wall wasn't made for that. That's no good. Now we're talking about similar ones where we have cases where the wall of walls not being done right. So that is the case of the banqueting pavilion, which is either a tree, which either could have it might have a tree or an achzadra on top, as you see in the diagram. Right, so it could have that. And then the other option is that it has right, so another option is not that it's got it's not that it's not that it's a tree. Also could be see on the left here, it looks like there is a some sort of structure here, like where we were eating. Right, not necessarily with a tree on top or anything. So like the question was, what is the goal? What's the goal to here? So we're gonna read to Rashi's information, and like what Rashi says, I'll say it according to the diagram, underneath the diagram of each respectively. So, right, so the first option we said by Nordiki, the first one he says is, you want to then right, and then you would put all these nice benches below it. So that's option one. And then option two is that it's either a nice tree or a nice tree combined with a asadra. Okay, that's that, right? So that'd be basically see the tree, but there's also, but not only is there a tree, there's also some sort of pergola type or veranda type structure underneath it, also.
Rabbi,
Yeah.
your internet doesn't seem amazing. Is it just me?
You're breaking up.
Oh, that's okay.
Your internet doesn't seem very clear. Your voice is breaking up, Rabbi.
Okay, so let me see. I'll see. Let me try and fix that. One moment. Better now.
I keep speaking and we'll find out.
Okay. All right. So
That
that
is
was.
better, yes.
Okay. So the question is, so what exactly is the structure? So in some place where that was fancy and really nice, the rich looked and wanted them to eat. Okay, the question, so in and of itself wasn't a sufficient Rishat Yechid. Either because it didn't have walls, maybe it was just a tree, maybe because it was in an area that was forbidden, but it wasn't good enough. So the app should be trying to figure out what we could do. So Rashi said, so then we so we just went through one hand. Rashi, another one of Rashi, right, so we said about the Asajj. So now we're going to say that the other question was, how would we, solve the issue of the yard being too, of the yard either not being, not this time Rashi is answering the question. Maybe it's not, maybe the problem with it is that there's nobody living there. So he says, maybe we can fix it by Parash Rashi. Shomer, Shomera, so basically, the point was, why would we make we said we're gonna make the cutting structure to fix everything, right? So one opinion of Rashi is the way that it's fixing it is because why does it work? Because now basically you made a big dira there by basically having the by putting a set wall, not just a shady area. Now this place has walls and there's food there, so that way, because if the person's somebody's living in the backyard in the car path, that's why the whole area is now permitted. Okay, the next option would be goes to lives in the side of it, right? That's 130 in the diagram. I'll read from there. So Right, somebody goes off to the side. You wouldn't even need to have made the path. We said that Rafuna Bar Chanina made. Rather, he could have just, apportioned off that part where he wanted to have access to, and it had been smaller off, that'd have been fine. But the other option is Oshem Lohaya Patuach Sham Shumbai. The other option could be, why do you have to make this weird apportioning to exclude it? Not that there's a house in the foreground near where I'm highlighting over here. But the thing is, though, why do you when you make the walls, what you're doing is basically you exclude the rest of the large karpa from the chasadra itself, and you surround the chasadra too, and that's why it's a separate rishos. Okay, and then Tosfos says another opinion, right? The parshah Devavid kana kana pachu b'shloshah dehainu sheyachik min hakotel arba latir kol pustin v'haya habaya patuachlo. The other option is that the house act that Tosfos mentions is that actually the house opens into the Vernicke, and that's kind of like we had in the previous case where the wall of the mansion fell down, and now we're still trying to push the wall of the Bustana in a little bit, and that's what we'll be doing. Okay, so the question is: are we trying to solve the issue of there being no Beit Dira, which is why this doesn't work, or is it because of the issue of which before about how the right, it's not residential, or is it because the area is too large? The question is, which thing are we trying to solve? We're trying to solve both. Right? What is wrong with the machita that got pulled out? But now we're going to go back to the Gemara. Okay? So we had Bechirna had this great plan with the Kanim, and then we had the Rav Oshlofinu, right? So that now turning to Tzitzcha, now we're on Chavah Manala, that Azal Rapapa Ravuna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Menachinei, Mibatrei, and they went around and they took them all out. Because they thought that whatever that he was doing wasn't kosher. Whichever one it was, we'll get to. We have our options. Whichever one of them it was, Rav was not happy, and his students helped him and made sure to take out all the posts and steal them.
Rabbi, question. With Rav and his students, when they took it out, was it because it wasn't kosher or not necessary?
They thought it wasn't kosher. Not necessary. I thought it wasn't kosher.
So what would we not be kosher about it? It seems as though they were being machmer.
They're being machmer. Either they would say that you can't. The question was, can you? We had before about putting a wall on top of a hill, or a wall on top of a wall. If that works, to be kona the rishus. So we were saying that if you were to add one of these simply this temporary looking wall of sticks, it's not sufficient to change the status of the rishus, right? It's not enough. Just like we tried to be kona the rishut by putting a wall on top of a wall on a hill, which wasn't sufficient. So similarly here, it's insufficient. So that seems to be the problem. He didn't think that it was a sufficient wall, or he didn't solve the problem. He just made a cutesy little thing, but it didn't help. So then, now the next day, we have Ravina, asks Tom, talking to Rabba. Macha itve Ravina la Rabba. So the next day there was this question asked to Rabba. Again, this is still the same story. Ir chadasha modedim la mishivata v'yashana michomota. So in a new city, you measure it from where it's settled, an old city from its wall. Okay, so right, so we have the settlement and we have the where people live. Right. So the question is, where do you measure from the residential area or from the wall? So izuhi chadasha vizu yishana, which one's which? Chadasha shehukval so yashva. So a new city is one where you made a wall, built the wall first, and then you settled it. Yeshana shiyashva olvasof hokva, and yeshana means that you settled it, and then you made it, and then you put the fence around at a later date. I.e., the city is the settlement is old. Yerushalmi actually has it being the exact opposite. So, but we're not explaining Yerushalmi now, so we'll just leave that aside. So, the question is, what gives the wall its purpose? Is it right? So why is the Chadasha you get from this, from where the settlement is, because the wall was there, and then you're putting houses later can't help your wall. And then for the Yishana, we say that you get the wall because when the wall was put up, it was Boka Flatira, because there already were houses in there when you put it around.
Rabbi, what are we measuring?
Yeah.
Is this the Erev Tichumen?
Yes. Yes, for Tchum.
That's what we're measuring.
Where does Tchum start? And also for us, for case of carrying within the city, if it's a fully walled city, you should carry inside the whole city also. So, but we're sort of saying, so the question is, when do you do your measurements for Tchum? Where do you start from? Do you start from the fence or the city? Okay, so this is the Bible says your Shami has the exact opposite, but we'll leave that aside. They're like, wait, but shouldn't you say that our case of the orchard, where the orchard, then the house, remember there was the house, the wall fell down to the orchard, right? Shouldn't we say this to say similarly to the case of Hukvol Sofya Shvadami, that basically if you had made a wall and then you decided to turn it into a residential area, right? That should be allowed if you want to allow the previous case. So Omer Lay Papa Rava. So then Rapapa said to Rava, the Hamar Rasi Mechitza to Draklin Lo Shme Mechitza. So, but didn't Ravasi say that the walls of an Adraklin are not considered Mechitza? So it's an Adraklin. So those are walls that are created for, they're created for when people are according to Rashi, when people are constructing. Are doing construction, so they put up these walls for shade or to hang their clothing on. They're not real, they're not walls that are extremely substantive, so they would not be given that status. Right. So another option right, so that's one option, and then the other option is that it's meant for hang the clothing on, but basically it's because they're doing heavy work and they don't want to be, and they want it to be, and they want to have a little bit of privacy while they're doing construction, right? So the question is what exactly is going. So that's like this is a wall that looks like a wall. It's tall enough to be a wall, yet it's not a wall. So Alma kevan l'tsniuta avidalei lo havi mechitza. So what does that imply? That since you only made this wall not for dira, maybe not for residential usage at all, why do you put this wall up? You only put this wall up in order to for privacy reasons, or maybe because it's just like on the sun, right? So that's not a wall. Hachanami kevan l'tsniuta avidalei lo havi mechitza. So similarly too. Since the wall on the outside of the garden wasn't meant to be, used for residential reasons, it was meant to be used for tznuta. It was meant for tznuta, because that way people wouldn't be able to see when you're in your garden. So therefore, you should say that the wall out on the outer part of the garden, or the case of the garden pavilion, also should, those walls shouldn't work if they're meant to have a purpose. So the Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Rava, and Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua said to Rava, the Amar Rav Huna Mechitza Asil Anachat Losh Mechitza, but didn't Rav Huna say that a partition made for resting objects alongside it and protecting them is not considered to be a valid wall? So what do you mean then? So Daha Rabba Bar Vua Ma'ariv Le Lakule Machuza Arsyata Mishum Peri Tatore. Because this is what Rabba, and this is follows what Rabba Bar Avu did, as he constructed a Eruv separately for each row of houses in the Tidetan Machuza because of the digits for the cattle to feed from that separated them all. So that's, again, if you see, you'll see a diagram on the side of the Vilna, but you'll also, here's an example, basically, so you had in between each, the parish class, we have different residential areas that are separated by deep feeding troughs in between each of them. Right, so that way it generates a wall between here and here, even though it's not necessarily meant this wall is not course, this wall is not meant to be a wall for a wall purposes. It's simply, you know, you need a place for the feet of the animals. Then shouldn't we say that this dish is considered to be a partition made for resting after the objects outside of it? It's not meant for a wall. It's for something else. How's this good? So then the Gemara concludes, Kari Alayu Resh Galuta, Chachamim Hemel Hara Alayti Voyadao. So with regard to this incident, the Resh Galuta, the exilarch, said that the wise do evil, but to do good they have a knowledge. Meaning basically on Friday, right, so Rava and crew destroyed the area of accommodations made by Rav Huna Bar Chanina to allow people to use the pavilion. And then the next day, all they could do was that when they removed it, all they could do was prove that actually, you're right, maybe it should have worked. And it was actually prohibited to carry in the orchard, right? So either they took it out because they thought it was unnecessary, or they took it out because it couldn't work. Again, depending on how you were to have read the sugya. And then that creates all these issues. So now a little bit of a quick in on this topic. So the question is, what gives something the status of being a proper wall? So we had six cases. We talked about the case of the orchard, of an orchard with the house leading to an orchard, and then the walled house fell down. We have the case of the garden pavilion, the Vornica. We have the case of the new city, the old city. We have the case of the construction wall. We have the mechitza svil anachas, a wall simply made to make it easier to put stuff down next to, not at all for the purposes of as a wall, or the case of Perid Betore, of the place where the food was meant to, where the ditch was meant to simply store food and nothing else. So why aren't these good? So one option is that it's no good because it's not a residential area, like we had by the case of the Bustan in the first place. We have the case of that it's meant for something else, that it's meant for, you know, for not because it's not for residential, because it's made for something specifically that's not residential, such as storing your food or for hanging things on top of. That was a problem. Or you could say that the more technical sense, that it's not done for the brisker sense, that l'shem echitza l'dira, that when I made this, I had in mind that this wall would be able to be used for a functional residential purpose. So another option is that it's not really a wall. Because you can say that the wall is, just say it's temporary either in nature, like meaning it's only here for now and you're going to move it at any moment. Or you can say, none of these walls we're talking about are super strong walls. Like your building has, you build stronger walls, but for these purposes, you might have them being weaker. So that's why all these walls are no good. So now how this plays out all Hamasa, I will leave aside. For more on that, please ask consult Rabbi Kropkin for use of the walls in the local Greater Toronto Erev. But for now, we will go back to the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Eli, Shemati mi Rabbi Eliezer, Afilo Beit Kor. That the area that you're allowed to be included, we're returning to this thing we mentioned earlier about the maximal size for a karpith, or in a garden. And we say that it's a beit kor, right? Which is 30 times bigger than the beit that we have been working with prior. So we mean, that means you know the Mishnah is not like Chananya. The Tanya is learned by Chananya. Omer, Avafilhi, Abraim, Sa'a, Gestratia, Shomela. So we know that this is like Chananya says that even the size of 40 beitza, which is 10 more than what we just mentioned, so therefore clearly that's not him. So right, so he is even larger. So he says it's based on the court of the king, which could be extremely large. For exact sizing, you can look you can look at some of the ancient courts that they had, let's say in ancient Rome, and how big the palaces back then used to be. They were absolutely massive. So, oh, one second. My screen just jumped. Sorry, one moment. Okay, so Amar B'Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is going to try and explain this. Argument we had before about maximal size. Shnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Shnei Amar B'Yu Yishayahu Lo Yatsa Elachatzer Tichona. And right, and as it came to pass that before Yishayahu had gone out of the middle of the courtyard, and then God had, and then as it continues, then God had kept him, giving to give him a new one. So Tiv Ha'ir B'Karin Echatzer. It says. It's written city, but we read it as Chatzer. So that's how we learn that the courtyard of a king is the same size as a city would be for a normal person. My kumiflagi. So what are you arguing about? Mar sabar ayrot benoniot havin beit kor. Mar sabar armin saha havyan. So then what's the argument? They're both are bits, a bit learning all bits out on the chaser of Yishayahu was in right? So then the courtyard that he was in of the king at the time, right? So that's what they're debating, and the question was how big exactly that was. That's the question. So Yishayahu, my bayata, wait, so what was why was Yishayahu there in the first place in the middle court? Amarav Bar Chana Amar Yochanan Melamed Shechalak Hizkiyah V'Halak Yishayahu Hoshiv Shiva Al Bitcho. Basically, when Hizkiyahu Melech was sick, and Yishayahu went and he established a yeshiva by his door in order so that the merit of which would help Hizkiyahu get better. Mikan Shalatamit Hacham Shechala Moshevin Yeshiva Al Bitcho. So from here we learn that when a Talmid Chacham is sick, you should set up a yeshiva by his doorway. Love miltahi. However, this is not a proper course of action. Dilma ati lagiri bei satan. This is not a proper course of action as they might come to provoke satan against him. Basically, because by your being there, there'd be all the mitzvot around him, and he's not able to learn and do the mitzvot, so that might have the opposite effect. Cheshmat yemena hanshech atzesh tshachak achad v'lo yirev bei tosor. Similarly, I've heard. Okay, so that's the answer. That's the end of that story. Now we're back to things that relate more to just to head back, there's coming some more pictures of an Asadra, and right, just so we could get a better picture of what it was. Sorry for going back now, I just noticed that they had more pictures in the Perish Chai. Right, so we have the question of if the house leads into it versus the house doesn't lead into it, well, that may make it better. We also have this is just a nice picture of the way you would have surrounded your nice shaded tree area. And also, right, and once you start using it, then another solution could have been you could have put stuff down there. That way it wouldn't have been sneered anymore. And then we have our Beit Torah, right? So the question, right, of how many are there? So in Rashi or some, we only had two. Here we have a lot more than that. And then we also have the case have the distinctly being a ditch between the two of them. Okay, for the Beit Torah, how it ended up looking. Okay, so I'm going to stop sharing for now because we're done with the pictures. This will be hopefully be a little less distracting, a little while we continue on with it tomorrow. Okay. So similarly, the Shemati Emenu Anshei Chatzer Shachachachav Lo Yirei Beit Asur. So another statement is that Rabbi Eli Ben Rabbi Elazar, that if somebody forgot and didn't join the Eruv, his house is Asur, they can't enter it. Hatznan Beit Asur Lo Tzilchis Lo V'Lahen. Wait, but what do we need this statement for? Do we learn in Mishnah that you're not allowed to carry into his yard or out of his yard? So Marguna, Braid Rav Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, lo kasha, ha Rabbi Eliezer, v'ha Rabbana. No, this is okay because the Mishnah is following Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one is according to the Chachamim. Now we're going to explain what the opinions are. Shimsi Eliezer, as Rabbi Eliezer, the one Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that havat lo reshut chaseiro, reshut beto bito. When somebody gives up his rights to the communal courtyard, he also gives up his rights to his house. So, but according to the Rabbanan, that's Rabbi Eliezer. But the Rabbanan said, no, that if you were bodily rights to have access rights to the courtyard, that's all you gave them rights to. You still didn't say that they can come in and use your house freely. All you said is they're allowed to use the courtyard. So in Shita, it's obvious. So that this is my focus, and that's how it lined up. So Amar Chava Ana Varavhuna Bar Chenana Targimna. So I myself and Ravuna Bar Chenana explain as follows. Lo Nitzrucha Ela L'Chamisha Shashurim Bechatzer Bechad Shachach Mehen V'Lo Irev. So what is the case where you have five people who are living in the courtyard, right? Who is open to the courtyard? One forgot. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Kishum Vatzal Rishuto, and Tzarich Vatzal Kol Echad V'Echad. Rabbi Eliezer, right? He doesn't need to Vatzal Rishus to each every one of them. He simply says, I am no longer there, and therefore we're good to go. But the Rabbanan, Kishum Vatzal Rishuto, Tzarich Vatzal Kol Echad V'Echad. But according to the Rabbanan, in order for everybody else to have access to the courtyard, he has to Vatzal to each and every person individually. He's only given part of his rishus, so therefore you have to make, in order to make clarify that everybody can use it, it's not just letting the one guy use it, he has to make sure to point it out to every single person. The default is not saying that I'm not even here for Shabbos, it's like saying that I'm here, but I only to use that part, so therefore once he's already being stingy, therefore he might be even stingy for other things too. Come on, Azaz, who else does this follow? Hadatanya. According to this brayta, so who's that brayta supporting? Other ones we've stated till now. Come on, permanently. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, because he says that you don't need to mivatal to every single person, because when you were being mivatal, you default mivatal or mivatal to every single person. To all of your rishus, to everybody all at once. So if you don't need to do it, you don't need to mention it again. So Rav Kahana Mat Nehachi, right? And Rav Kahana actually explained the original statement according to the interpretation of Rav Chava and Rav Huna Bar Chenana. But Shivyumi Mat Nehachi, Rav Shivyumi explained it differently. Kaman Azla, so who do they follow? Hadatanya, Chamisha, Shashurim, Achatzer, Echad, Meshachat, Echad, Mehen, Lo Yirev. So, again, Rabbi Jimmy is in a very similar fashion as different people being quoted, saying that who is this according to Rabbi Eliezer, because once you are being mivatel, you're mivatel yourself as well, so you're also being in your own reshut, therefore you don't need to do it every person, because once you start being mivatel, it goes over to every single other person. So Amar Leir Papa Larabaya. Rabbi Eliezer, Iam Amar Lamavatilna. Larabanan, Iam Lamavatilna, Mai. So now we're going to ask, Rabbi Papa's asked Abaya. Corner Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when you announce everything all, that you mivatel everything all at once. So if one forgot to do so, and he said, and he says, I'm not being mivatel my house. And the Rabbanan also said, I am renouncing my house. So what would happen in each case if they said, I am only being mivatel just my bayit with my house? Would that also apply the rights to their chatzer or not? So tell Rabbi Eliezer, Meshum de Kasavar. So let's explain Rabbi Eliezer, meaning it's because he says, mivatel reshut chatzero, reshut beito bitel. Bahai amar, ana lo mivatelna. So Rabbi Eliezer, the reason why he says is that when you say mivatel the chatzer, so the chatzer is really the land that people live. So you're being, so along with it goes your, it goes the rights to use your house. But other opinion is that, but here's the problem is he says that I'm not being mivatel in my house. So how could you say that he's doing anything? Like how would you say that this and that if he said I'm not being mivatel in my house explicitly? All dilma tam to be lajim mishum divayit below chatzer lo vini inchi diary. Or would you say that Personally, a person can't live, wouldn't be able to live without having their courtyard, and therefore, it's an all-in-one package because you can't have a house without a courtyard. Therefore, when he's saying I'm renouncing the authority over my house, he can't do so because you have to be. If you're not explicitly giving it all over at once and you're trying to do partially, the answer is you can't do that because nobody would ever give up their house or their courtyard unless they're giving up everything all at once. Because people don't, nobody would live just in a courtyard. You wouldn't only live in a house without a courtyard. You would need both or not be functional living. So that's why you need both. Lurbanan, EMR, we've all killed that. He said that I have to tell one part of it, what you say. My time is your amount. Why would he say that it works? So here when he says Mivatel's Rishut, his chaser, but his house is not Mivatel. Wait, but didn't he say I'm not being Mivatel? Didn't he say that I'm being Mivatel my house? So shouldn't that allow everyone else to carry as well? Because basically when he gets rid of his house, that means that he's got no rights anymore, doesn't it? So oh de la tam derbana mishum de lo abid in shade to misalik nafshe the gamring bad chaser. Or maybe the opinion of the Rabbanon is because one does not usually move them entirely from both his house and from the courtyard, and there, which would make him a purely a guest by his neighbors. He would never do that. Therefore, when he says, I'm Vatlan Marishus, he couldn't have done so because nobody would make themselves not have any rights to the area. So therefore, nobody ever try and live only in the chatzer. It's also way. That's why it wouldn't work. So Amar Leir Bay Ben Rabbanan Ben Rabbi Elazar Kimon De Gali Daate Gali. So then Abaye said to our Papa, according to the Chachamim, according to the Rabbanan, and according to Rabbi Elazar, when once explained what he meant, so then we follow what he said. So V'chein Shemati Imenu Shiyotim our Kabbalin the Pesach. Certainly I heard that you can go out we're still continuing on with statements we heard in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that I heard that you're allowed to use our Kabbalin, which is a type of bitter herb on Pesach. So in my Arak Kabbalin, Amarish Lakish Atsuta Charuziata, it said So what is this? Rashi says it's a type of fiber that wraps around a date palm, right? So then, which is bitter. So saying that would be a sufficient thing to use. So I guess here we'll leave the mission for tomorrow. That way we'll have, because that's an entirely different topic. So now just to sum up what we've covered today, and then I'll open the floor to questions. So we've been talking a lot about how to fix a karpaf or a bedira, and when the walls fall down, how you fix everything. So we're discussing the case of walls that were not necessarily meant to be used that way when they were originally made. So we started to talk. So I'll do a little explanation. So today we started with the case of the case where we had the mansion leading to the orchard and the wall falls down. Can you count the wall of the orchard or not? Right? Reasons why we said the problem is it wasn't originally made for Vedira, right? Since it wasn't originally made for those purposes, we say it's problematic, you can't end this. Good. Then we got the cases of Vertiki, right, of the shaded area of the pavilion. Right, and all the different permutations of how it may have been constructed. And why for that, right? So initially we were stating that maybe it should be fine on its own. Maybe not. And then the solution of making the walls with the kanim, then how they were taken out. Never ever destroy an area if you think it's possible currently, because odds are somebody will be able to be malam in a spot, or you may just really make a mistake. So it's better to not destroy the structure, because if you destroy it, it's too late. And nobody appreciates not being able to carry on on Shabbos when they thought they could. You don't want to be. It's never a good sign of the head of the Jews in Kutzlaris decide that, well, I'd have been better off without the rabbis. You don't want that. So then we discussed whether either it was solving the issue of the area being too large, or it was solving the issue by excluding it from the rest of the Usher area. Or eventually it was that if you already had a Beit Dira attached to it, that it would be connected to it. So, and then we spoke about the case of when you built a new city, which you try to support. The question is you have to put the walls up with intent or not initially. So we saw that in the Bavli, it says that, that if you put the wall and then the residential is no good, you can't count the wall. Whereas if you put the residential and then the wall, then it is good. Then it also put, but then ironically, the opposite is true for the Yerushalmi, because they said that on a new city means that you're planning out the city and you built the wall, even though like, even if it comes later, that's still good. Because question is when you're constructing, do you intend to be used for deer or not? If you're building, let's say I'm now building I'm going to build a town, and I want to make sure that I don't get attacked by wild animals during construction or at any other point. And also afterwards, so the first thing I'm going to construct, for the sake of the rest of my building not being vandalized or everything else, I'm going to build the construction wall first and then the house. So that's the start of the Yerushalmi. That's what they say, that actually that's how you know for sure that it was built for the purposes of the residential area. That's why you can start from the outer rim, as opposed to from the place of the residences. We spoke about the case of the wall by construction site and why that's no good, because it's not meant to be served any of the purposes of mechitza. So therefore, it's not meant for residential area or anything else. Therefore, that creates a problem. Again, for how long does it play on halacha l'masa? That's not for session now. Because depending on how you interpret that, would be whether or not, let's just say somebody's doing construction in your town, would that mean that goes under the Eruv? Would that invalidate the Eruv entirely or not? Because now you've got a no good wall in the middle of your Eruv. So would that, we said that's the tracks or not? Again, separate discussion. And the question of can you come on afterwards? Again, so it's machloket. We spoke about the case of the feed troughs that we say was no good because they are not, because they have absolutely no intent to be used as well. So technically they're a ditch that can be that looks like this one. Right. So then we had another picture of, again, there's another depiction of the Asadra. Right. Where we say it would be, where it makes things worse off. Right, so getting to attend your backyard, that's not necessarily going to help you. Right, for your pavilion, that is basically the question that might help. Why you didn't put the posts is because basically it's a way to get from point A to point B without and completely avoiding the Usher area. That way, you can bring the food out so they could eat the next day in the nice pavilion outside. Right, so the other option we said had been to basically if you had placed walls, or if you place walls around it, but again, then this is the Tosfot is here saying that the reason why we brought the case of the Adraklin is that just like the Adraklin was for Sniut, so too was the any of the walls you put that may have been around the garden pavilion. They weren't real walls, they were Sniut walls people wouldn't see in while they were lounging in their garden. They wanted privacy, so that's the problem. Not because the wall wasn't meant to be right? Because you put a wall because you're like, my property is here, don't cross it. And then as you put up a wall, you're like, you know, kind of like how now you close the curtains. You don't want me to see in right now. And that's the purpose. And then the question of when you have the Beit Torah, Tosfos mentions the extent of how much it is. And he says that basically it's, there's so many of them to each and every area that we can consider each, considering each location of Mukaf of being surrounded by a wall or not. And so the question is, so, and then as far as active abstraction, Tosafot says that it seems to have been done, and actually it was originally built as a pit, as a chariot, as like you built an actual ditch. So now we know a little bit. Oh, wait, it was not sharing the diet of the picture. My apologies. Okay, so I'll just let me just share it again, and then I'll just to scroll through the words in the order that I say to them. Right, so we had our case of the Bustana. We had the case of the Avernike, of the Guardian Pavilion. That's pictures 128, 29, 30, 31, and 30, 32, as well as 36, and 37, and 38. We had the case of the Adrak Lin, which is 134. We had the case of Victoria, which is picture number 135, and picture number 139. And number 140. So these are all types of problematic walls. And the question of how can we make them allowed? How can we use them for Erevin? And very importantly, remember again, is that a lot of times the Erevin, there are a lot of machlokot. Some that are chomer, some are lakula. And important to remember that even if, let's say, you may have heard a chomer opinion, remember that there also could be there's a cool opinion, and as we'll come across soon in Erevin, that we say that different makel, but different Erevin normally follow the makel shita in Erevin. So if ever there is an Erev, you might want to make sure you do full research before stating that it's possible, and don't immediately start taking down any signposts or shura petas because you feel it's no good. Because you may wind up creating a lot of anger against Judaism as a whole, as has so happened even by the Rech Galuta in the story from today. So, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them now, and we will continue with the new parak. Everybody please start. Today is Friday. Please continue. So please do the media track on your own. I will be posting hopefully a little bit later today. I basically really following this. I'll be recording the next off. So if you want to that, if you want to listen to that, it'll be posted on the on Toronto Torah's YouTube channel as well as on my Torah. Also on Sunday, if anybody's interested, there is a Tishrei in a day. For your celebrity now, it's posted to the day of. So if you would like to attend that, that's also run by the Beit Midrash. You're welcome to attend that on Zoom as well. Details are found on TorontoTorah.com as well. So if anybody has any questions, please let me know. And hopefully I'll have the next app posted shortly. If somebody would like to listen to it now, well, I'll give it, you're welcome to, but if not, I'll be ending this and starting a new Zoom, and recording it by myself.
Okay, thank you.
Well, good Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos. Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos, everybody.
Where?